August 1817, Ardmore Castle, Scotland.
I wish I were a queen,
Miss Josephine Essex said to her two elder sisters.
I would simply command an appropriate man to marry me by special license.
What if he refused?
Imogen, sometimes known as Lady Maitland, asked.
I'd remove his head from his body,
Josie said with dignity.
Given that men make slim use of their heads,
Annabel, the Countess of Ardmore, said,
you don't have to threaten decapitation. Simply allow the fellow to believe that he made up his own mind about marriage.
She was tucked in Imogen's bed and appeared little more than a tousle of curls peeking from under the bedcovers.
That is precisely the kind of advice I need.
Josie snapped open a small book and poised her quill.
I am making a study of the skills required to succeed in the marriage market, and since you two are both married, you are my primary sources of information.
I'm a widow, Imogen said. I know nothing of the marriage market.
She was sorting silk stockings and didn't even look up from the dressing table.
One should be able to dance,
Annabel noted.
You really must practice harder, Josie. You were stomping on Maine's toes the other night. I need better advice than that,
Josie said to her.
You're the only one of us to have actually gone on the season, and you married into a title. You do remember that I'm to have a season next year, don't you?
Annabel opened one eye.
Only because you mention it every other minute. Lord, but I'm sleepy. I've heard that marriage rots the brain,
her youngest sister told her cheerfully.
In that case, I wonder that you're so interested in it.
Josie ignored that unhelpful comment.
There's more to gaining a husband than not tripping over his feet while waltzing. I want to understand the challenges beforehand. I can't rely on beauty the way the two of you did.
That's ridiculous. You are lovely,
Annabel said.
I was in London for the better part of April,
Imogen said,
and I saw plenty of young ladies in your situation, Josie. It seemed to me that the primary requirement for a debutante is a smirk, an innocent simper,
she clarified.
Smirk,
Josie noted in her book.
And listen to everything your suitor says as if God himself is speaking. Of course, sometimes it's difficult to stay awake. Men can be very boring,
Annabel agreed.
They have such a penchant for discussing themselves. You have to learn to endure, which is not one of your best qualities, Josie.
To this point, you have shown no ability to suffer fools gladly,
Imogen said.
Yet fools have the deepest pockets. It's a proven fact that lack of brains and a large estate go hand in hand.
Josie had been busily writing in her book, but she looked up at this.
So I smirk at the fool as he talks about himself. Essentially, toe-curling boredom buys a spouse.
I think Imogen is overstating the importance of a smirk,
Annabel put in.
There are moments in courtship that can be rather interesting. In my view, for example, a prospective groom might prefer engaging in a mildly scandalous activity to a mutual smirk.
Annabel has a point. I suppose you might occasionally engage in an impudent act,
Imogen said.
But only if you found yourself in the company of a truly engaging young man.
That's a bit steep coming from you,
Josie said.
You devoted yourself to outrageous efforts from the very moment you saw Draven Maitland. Remember how he kissed you after you arranged to fall out of a tree at his feet?
Imogen's hands stilled for a moment.
Of course I do. It was spring, and the apple tree was in bloom. And then you fell off a horse, and finally you fell into marriage.
Your example seems to go against the model of the innocent simper,
Josie said.
I intend to be practical about this business, and I have no particular disinclination to creating a scandal, if that is the most efficacious route to marriage. My foolishness is nothing to emulate,
Imogen said, returning to her task and folding two pale blue stockings together.
You would do better to find a husband by a more conventional means.
Josie made a note in her book.
Employ an innocent look, no matter how imprudent one's private conduct may be. It sounds like that gentleman thief who is always getting described in the Times. One moment he appears as a fine gentleman, and then with a twist of a dish clout, he's transformed into a beggar.